shine forever o'er me, to light my world with love, through darkest night to dawning, through all the sunny day. Thine eyes, love, guide my footsteps along life's rugged way. Thine eyes, love, shine before me. With love's bright red, they light my way and make my heart adore thee. My thoughts to thee, they fill my world with gladness, like sunshine after rain, and fill my heart with longing to meet thee once again. With a glow where'er I go, thine eyes, love, shine before me. With love's bright ray, they light my way. With love's bright ray, they light my way. And
hello, this is Jim Ryan at Community Radio Yall, welcoming you back to our fourth and final programme on John McCormack, the Athlone-born tenor, one of the world's greatest singers of the past 100 years. Now the hour of reckoning has come. Of his 600-plus recordings, most of which are superb, so many must await another day. There you heard the Victorian ballad Like Stars Above. The lyrics are by J.A. MacDonald, and it was published in 1902. The melody is by William Henry Squire, who was born in 1871 and died in 1963. He was a cellist and music professor. John recorded Like Stars Above in 1908 and again in 1912, and we have just heard the later recording. The lyrics say, as if I need to tell you, I see thine eyes before me, like beacon stars above, that shine for air o'er me to light my world with love. It's a beautiful love song, and John's voice was never lovelier and more beguiling than here. We hear every vowel and consonant. It's pure magic. Immenso Vientosa from Delibes' opera Lakmé is charming. John's version of it is marvellous, both for singing and interpretation, as good as his best. The Illustrated London News said of his singing in this opera, which he sang at both Covent Garden and with Tetrazzini at Manhattan Opera, and I quote, he sang the music of Gerald admirably and gave the lovely cantilena in the third act with such beautiful phrasing and skillfully modulated tone that he had to repeat a verse. I am indebted for that quotation, as for so much else, to a marvellous book on John's life and career, full of wise judgments and excellent technical analysis. The book is John McCormack, The Great Irish Tenor, by Gordon T. Ledbetter. For McCormick fans, it's simply a must-read. Incidentally, Gordon's programmes about McCormick on RTE Radio illuminated the vocal and technical qualities which made John so great. And now, hear Immenso Vientosa from Lakmé. It's perfection or close to it. Again, we had there John's lovely, smooth singing line. I once read that the ideal Gerald in Lakmé should be, and I quote, sweet and winning. Surely, John McCormick to a T. He sings it not in the original French, but in Italian. Sir Compton Mackenzie, the founder of the Gramophone magazine, wrote of John's Italian, and I quote, his Italian is marvellous. I have known several Italians who, listening to his records, absolutely refused to believe that John was not an Italian. Believe me, if all those endearing young charms is even more poignant when we hear the human story behind it. Believe me, if all those endearing young charms which I gaze on so fondly today were to change by tomorrow and fleet in my arms like fairy gifts fading away, thou wouldst still be adored as this moment thou art, let thy loveliness fade as it will, and around the dear ruin each wish of my heart would entwine itself verdantly still. Thomas Moore married the beautiful Bessie Dyke, but sadly she contracted smallpox, which disfigured her face. In this song, he assured her of his enduring love. Happily, it had a positive effect on her self-confidence. The melody is a traditional Irish air. True love, the song says, is steadfast. What a lovely song with such a moving theme, conveyed with rare beauty. Victor Galanx, in his book Journey Towards Music, writes of going to a Saturday ballad concert in the Albert Hall, where, and I quote, John McCormack sang ballads as exquisitely as he was in the habit of singing Il Mio Tesoro at Covent Garden. He noted also John's, and I quote, sweetness, control and beauty of phrasing. J.B. Steen regrets that there is no counterpart to McCormack today, and I quote, "We have no serious singer of international standing who has also a place in popular culture, and that culture and the art of singing are the poorer for it." Maritana, by Waterford-born William Vincent Wallace, premiered in London in November 1845. It's one of the three ballad operas that make up the Irish Ring. Maritana, the first and best known of Wallace's operas, is very tuneful with many popular numbers. None more so than There Is a Flower That Bloometh. John's 1912 recording of it is a real gem.
Oh, plucky fairy to wither,
the memory of the past. It was the perfume aura which few can e'er forget. All the bright scenes gone before us, all the sweet, the sad regret. Let no heart brave its power by guilty thought. The memory of the past, for then a poisoned flower is the memory of.
Like the bold Phelan Brady, the Bard of Armagh, John sang, as the song says, to raise up the memory of his dear native land. We must remember the joy he brought to millions of Irish Americans, many of them emigrants with painful memories of the famine. How wonderful for them to see one of their own become the toast of their adopted land. He sang songs such as Mother Machree, as no one will ever sing them, with taste and with all the artistry he could lavish on them. The melody of this song is by Chauncey Alcott and Ernest Ball, the lyrics by Rita Young. It was published in 1910. John recorded it twice, in 1911 and in 1927. And the way he caresses the words in the later recording make it something special. John Scarry says of it, and I quote, "In no other singer's recording of Mother Machree is there more perfectly expressed and more perfectly controlled emotion. Seldom, if ever, have the principles of bel canto served the world of song so beautifully and so well." And here it is now, Mother Machree.
Spot in my heart which no Colleen may own. There's a depth in my soul never sounded or known. There's a place in my memory, my life, that you fill. No other can take it, no one ever will. Sure, I love the dear silver that shines in your hair, and the brow that's all furrowed and wrinkled with care. I kiss the dear fingers so toil-worn for me. Oh, God bless you and keep you, Mother Machree. Every sorrow or by was made bright by the light of the smile in your eye.
like a candle that's set in a window at night. Your fond love has cheered me and guided me right. Sure, I love the dear silver that shines in your hair, and the brow that's all furrowed and wrinkled with care. I kiss the dear fingers so toil-worn for me.
Marvellous singing there. It's little wonder that Max DeChauncey could remark, and I quote, "A McCormick Red Seal record was as usual in the average American home during the second and third decades of the century as fodder slippers by the fire." Arrigo Boito's chief claim to fame is as the librettist of Verdi's Falstaff and Othello, and a revised version of Simone Boccanegra. But his own opera, Mephistopheles, as we saw in the live screening at the SGC Cinema in Dungarvan in 2013, can provide a memorable experience. John sang the role of Faust with great success at Manhattan Opera in 1914, with Claudio Muzio, Rosa Raisa, and Adam Didor. Towards the end of the opera, Faust's last day on earth has come. He is in his study thinking of good deeds and God's redemption. In a dreamy mood, he sings Giunto sul passo estremo, having reached the final step. John's singing of this aria is captivating and of supreme beauty, being in its own way as exquisite a piece of singing as his Il mio tesoro.
Poesia, the resistance.
There, Faust is reflecting on his life. Many singers, and indeed actors, don't reflect, but they rather declaim. With John in this area, we don't hear so much as we overhear. And his use of the voice to create mood is unsurpassable. And we'll have more John after the break in a short while. Hello again, and you're welcome back to our final programme on the great tenor, John McCormack. Caruso's fame began at the premiere of Giordana's Fedora on November the 17th, 1898. And many believe that McCormack's first step on that road was taken when he sang Samuel Liddell's A Farewell at a London concert in March 1907, months before he made his Covent Garden debut. The legendary record producer Walter Legg always maintained that A Farewell had in fact been John's hello to the English public. Liddell was born in Leeds in 1867 and died in 1951. In this typically Victorian ballad, a father gives advice to his daughter. Be good, sweet maid, and let who will be clever. Do noble things, not dream them all day long. And so make life, death, and that vast forever one grand sweet song. John's 1912 recording of A Farewell shows him at his mature best. Impeccable phrasing, beautiful tone, clarity of diction, and complete involvement in the song make this a record to treasure. Brahms' song in Waldesein's Samkite, in the loneliness of the forest, as well as being beautifully sung by McCormack, is of special interest because he was coached in the 1920s by Sir George Henschel, who had known Brahms and had discussed the latter's songs with him. The fruit of that collaboration can be discerned in John's recordings of German songs by Brahms, Wolf and others. The song says, I sat at your feet in the loneliness of the forest. The breath of wind, like a longing, went through the broad tree tops. And the third stanza goes on. The sun set, the day lost its glow. Far, far away sang a nightingale. Ferne, 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 sang eine Nachtigall. Nigel Douglas writes of, and I quote, the ease with which John achieves Brahms' mood of rapt enchantment and the mesmerising poise and beauty of such phrases as Ferne, ferne, sang eine Nachtigall. J.B. Steen found it, and I quote, "beautifully still and tender, with fine control and a miraculous use of the head voice at the end." This lovely song was the kind of unfamiliar material that John gradually introduced to his audiences. The word Waldesein Samkite is one of the often parodied composite German words. The gorgeous even tone and the way John gets into the song's mood is an absolute delight. According to the discography on the John McCormick website, mccormicksociety.co.uk, he recorded "I Hear You Calling Me" 7 times between 1908 and 1929. It was the song which came to be most closely associated with him. His recordings of it sold more than those of any other of his songs. He first sang it in public early in 1908 and first recorded it later in the same year. I particularly liked the 1911 recording with John at his golden best. Nigel Douglas tells us that, and I quote, "it's not at all easy to sing." And now I realised that in all my hours of enjoyment at Sing Songs over the years, I don't recall anybody ever singing "I Hear You Calling Me." Douglas describes this recording as, and I quote, "a performance of consummate artistry, truly remarkable for a singer who was only 26 at the time. The final pianissimo high A seems to hang somewhere in space until the glittering downward glissando brings the melody back to earth. It's the kind of singing which appropriates a song, and I admire the courage of anyone else who has ever tried to sing it." End of quote. Courage indeed, with John's recording so famous. And now, I Hear You Calling Me.
Remember,
Only John could sing it like that. Ermanno Wolf Ferrari was born in Venice in 1876 and died in Vienna in 1948. His opera, The Jewels of the Madonna, which premiered in 1911, is violent and tragic in the very small style of Mascagni's Cavalleria Rusticana. It has a lovely mother-son duet in Act I, in which she asks him to pray to the Madonna, the Virgin Mary. Mario Sammarco had sung in the opera in Chicago in January 1912, and he probably brought it to John's attention, because although he never sang the opera on stage, within months he recorded a duet with the English mezzo Louise Kirkby Lunn. I find in this recording a perfect meeting of minds and voices, an example of how duets should be sung. John, of course, is at the height of his vocal powers. It shows its age somewhat, but I think the singing is glorious. Delightful singing there in a lovely duet from Wolf Ferrari's opera, The Jewels of the Madonna. How I wish John had recorded some things from Mozart's operas, The Magic Flute and Così fan tutte. What a feast those recordings would have provided. Still, we must celebrate what he did record more than we regret what he didn't. For years now, I've thought Silver Threads Among the Gold in John's 1913 recording, displayed his voice at its shining best. Published in 1873, the music is by Hart Danks with lyrics by Eben Rexford. It was recorded first as early as 1903 and was among the most recorded of all ballads in the early 20th century. Amelita Galli-Curci, Bing Crosby and Daniel O'Donnell, among countless others, have recorded it. It's one of the most affecting of all love songs. John tells this story and conveys the lover's case with feeling and artistry. And so we reach the end of our journey with John McCormack. It's been a labour of love. My thanks to Dara Parker on production here at Community Radio Yall for his great help with these programmes. To my friend Murish O'Keefe for loaning me CDs which have tracks that I have on LP but not on CD. My niece Caroline O'Brien of Aglish for her never-ending help. And you, the listeners who tuned in. John Keats wrote, "A thing of beauty is a joy forever." And John McCormack's recordings are a joy forever. He had the Midas touch. Everything he touched turned to gold. John is one of our great national treasures. The composer Joseph Haydn once wrote to Leopold Mozart, and I quote, "Your son, Wolfgang Amadeus, is the greatest composer known to me. We shall not see his likes again in 100 years. End of quote. We've waited now for over 2 centuries for a second Mozart. We may have to wait as long for another John McCormack. If I were a teacher of singing, I would have my students listen often to John's recording with Lucrezia Bori of O Soave Fanciulle from Puccini's La Bohème, especially to John's solo opening lines, the epitome of great singing. And Bori makes the ideal partner, as they sing to and not at each other. Rodolfo and Mimi have just met in a garret in the Bohemian area of Paris. He is gazing at her in the moonlight and sings ecstatically, O soave fanciulla, O dolce viso. Lovely maid in the moonlight, your face entrancing like a radiant angel from on high appears. She replies in kind, and they sing this enchanting duet. John McCormick was a wonder of the world, and his recorded legacy is his priceless gift to us. I hope you enjoyed those recordings of his I brought to you. And so I leave you with John and Lucrezia Bori in the La Bohème duet. Not a bad one to end on, I hope you'll agree. From me, Jim Ryan, it's goodbye for now. Goodbye.
Al ritorno,
curiosa,
dammi il braccio, mia piccina.